Robert has given a series of lessons over the past few weeks, starting off with true repentance, looking at Saul and David. He went on to look at last week how we can be sure to know God, the God that commands true repentance, that we can know who He is, that we can be sure by looking into His Word, letting that be our God light in the cloud bank, you know, that we follow. As he told that story last week of Jay flying in the cloud and keeping his eye on his wingman. We can know God. We can know who God is. We can know things about Him. But you know, how do you explain to someone who is paraplegic, you know, they don't have any feeling from their neck down, how do you explain the sensation of feeling to someone who can't feel? One of the side effects of Jake's brain injury that he had was that now he can't smell and he can't taste. And so how do I explain to Jake what something tastes like or how something smells to someone who can't smell or can't taste? How do you describe Beethoven's Fifth Symphony to someone who can't hear? Someone who doesn't know what things sound like. How do you describe music to them? How do you look outside today and see the glorious mountains and whenever the sun came up this morning, how beautiful it was, and you look around and you see God's majesty and the things that are created, and how do you describe what that looks like to someone who's blind? How do you describe what something looks like to someone who's blind? One of our problems in society is we have become skeptical because we can't see God. We can't see God. Where is He? And since I can't see Him, I can't touch Him, I can't... Where is He? But what we have to understand is that it's imperative that we know God and that we show God to those around us. We who are believers, it is our job to know who God is and to show Him. Because God has, since the creation of time, wanted man to know Him. You look back in the Garden of Eden, in the perfect scenario, in the perfect relationship with God and man, God was there, side by side with Adam and Eve. He walked with him in the garden. They had a relationship together. He showed Himself to them and gave them the opportunity to get to know who He is personally. But yet that wasn't good enough. Their own willful desires caused them to sin, and they were cast out of the garden. And then you look some time later when man had ceased to know God, so much so that God was sorry He ever even created man, but He found one guy that wanted to know Him. So He saved Noah and his family because he knew who God was. And He wiped out the whole world with a flood. God wanted the people to know Him, but they turned away from Him. Then you look on down the line. We go all the way into Exodus. And this is actually the first time whenever this phrase is mentioned in Exodus chapter 14. When the children of Israel, His promised people, were being brought out of Egypt, that God had already showed through 10 awesome signs, 10 great plagues, His judgment on Egypt. He's taking His children out of the land. They're wandering around on the Sinai Peninsula, and He says in chapter 14, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp at Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. You will camp in front of Baal Zephon, opposite it by the sea.'" So basically, they were closed in. They had sea on one side, mountain on the other, and they couldn't go anywhere. God said, "I want y'all to camp there." For Pharaoh will say to the sons of Israel, "They are wandering aimlessly in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Thus I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them. And I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." The Egyptians were not a godly people. And He had done time and again something so that they could recognize who He was. But yet they still would not recognize it. The Pharaoh had his heart hardened to who God was. And so God was glorified by what He did, so that the Egyptians would know who He is. We keep going down through time. The children of Israel went to Mount Sinai. God had chosen them, had brought them out of Egypt. They had seen who He was. And right after He gave them His commandments, said, "I want you to be my children. I'm going to choose you to be my children if you do what I command." And they said, "We'll do everything you command." And He wanted to come down from the mountain and meet with them. And as soon as they saw the thunder and the lightnings and the awesome power of the Lord, they told Moses, "We don't want God to come down here to us. We want Him to stay up on the mountain away from us, and we'll talk to you and you go talk to Him. We don't want to know who God is." And Moses said to him, "God wants to see you and for you to see Him so that you will not sin." On down through time, nations forgot who God is. If you remember, whenever God introduced Himself to Moses, said, "Go to Egypt," he said, "Who should I say sent me?" And God said, "I am sent you." The I am. Not the God who was or the God who will be, the God who is. I want you to tell them that's who sent you. And people throughout the ages have continually forgotten who God is. They've ceased to want to know who God is. You look at our society today, and there are a lot of people who don't care who God is. Ezekiel preached in a time when Jerusalem, God's chosen people, Israel, were wretched. They were falling away. And he says in Ezekiel chapter 13. By the way, this was, I just looked up the word "no" in Strong's. And there was a list in Ezekiel, I don't know, probably 25 times. And I'm going to read some of this chapter, chapter 13. 25 times where he says, "You will know that I am the Lord. You will know that I am the Lord." But let's read chapter 13 a little bit. "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy and say to those who prophesy from their own inspiration, listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who are following their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets have been like foxes among ruins. You have not gone up into the breaches, nor did you build wall around the house of Israel to stand in the battle on the day of the Lord. They see falsehood and lying divination who are saying, the Lord declares, when the Lord has not sent them. Yet they hope for fulfillment of their words. Did you not see a false vision and speak a lying divination when you said, the Lord declares, but it is not I who has spoken? Therefore, thus says the Lord, because you have spoken falsehood and seen a lie, therefore, behold, I am against you, declares the Lord God. So my hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will have no place in the council of my people, nor will they be written down in the register of the house of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel, that you may know that I am the Lord God. It is definitely because they have misled my people, saying peace when there is no peace. And when anyone builds a wall, behold, they plaster it over with whitewash. So tell those who plaster it over with whitewash that it will fall. A flooding rain will come, and you, O hailstones, will fall, and a violent wind will break out. Behold, when the wall has fallen, will you not be asked, where is the plaster with which you plastered it? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will make a violent wind break out in my wrath. There will also be in my anger a flooding rain and hailstones to consume it in wrath. So I will tear down the wall which you plastered over with whitewash and bring it down to the ground so that its foundations is laid bare. And when it falls, you will be consumed in its midst. And you will know that I am the Lord. It continues on like that for some time. When the people fell away from God, when the people cease to know who He is, cease to seek His face, God says, I will bring about bad things so that you'll remember who I am. So that you will know who I am. But in this time and again, God speaks through His prophets, trying to get the people to know who He is. And it just didn't seem to work. Not saying that God's plan didn't work. Man is just close-minded when it comes to knowing God. But then there's a change. Then there's a change. In Hebrews chapter 1, I can turn there. In Hebrews chapter 1, this book opens up. First verse. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets, in many portions and in many ways. Now, God, after He spoke through the prophets, in a lot of ways, He tried numerous things to get the people to listen. In these last days, He has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. Now we have a difference. God tried a one-on-one relationship in the Garden of Eden, but man didn't desire that. God tried through the prophets to speak to His children, to get them to know Him. And they wouldn't. And then He sent His Son. And then He sent His Son to show us who God is. When I was young, I guess I was probably about 15 or so, my dad said to me one day, I was at a time where I spent more time with friends and things like that than I did with my parents and family. My dad told me, Bill, I want to be your best friend. Now, that doesn't mean that he wanted to buddy up with me and pal around and do all the things that I did with my other friends. My dad was saying that he desired a relationship with me. And it's something that I didn't care about. It's something that I didn't know. 10 years later, he and I started developing a relationship while building my brother's house. We spent time together. Me, him, and my brother, we worked every day on my brother's house for 6 months. And during that time, we got to know one another. Something that we didn't do before whenever I was young. And I won't say my dad's my best friend, but I'll say this, my dad is my friend. My dad is my friend now. We have a deeper relationship because of the time that we spent together. And in the same way, God looked at mankind and wanted to have a deep relationship with man. Man didn't want it. Man still doesn't want it. But just as it took me spending time with my dad to develop a relationship, what it's going to take for us, what it's going to take for the church, for the people in the world who are lost, what it is going to take for mankind in general to know God is time spent with Him. Because God wants man to know Him. God wants man to know Him so much, He made His Son flesh so that we could spend time with Him. And His Son, while He was here, chose out 12 men who spent nearly every day for 3 years wandering with Him, listening to Him teach, becoming His friends, those He loved. And I'll thank you for reading in John. That was such a good reading about Jesus, how he desired that relationship. But He's going to leave us, right? In John chapter 7. Starting in verse 28, excuse me, Jesus was in the temple, and He said, "You both know me and know where I'm from, and I have not come of myself, but He who sent me is true, whom you do not know. I know Him because I am from Him, and He sent me." Jesus knew God. Jesus had a relationship with God. Jesus was one with God. In chapter 8, right after that, verse 18, He says, "I am He who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me." So they were saying to Him, "Where is your Father?" And Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." Jesus knows God, and He came so that we could know Him, and in knowing Jesus, know God. And have a relationship with God. Now, we're 2,000 years down the line from that. We're 2,000 years down the line from that. How can we know Jesus? How can we know Jesus? Those 12 guys that spent nearly every day for 3 years learning about who Jesus was, they wrote some things down. They wrote some things down for us. Them and some other eyewitnesses that saw the things that were going on wrote what we have today because God's protected it for 2,000 years so that we can get in the Word and study and know who God is, know who Jesus is. And Paul says in Ephesians 5:1, that we are to imitate God. That we are to imitate God. Why is that? Why are we to imitate God? Simply because it's good for us? I mean, that's a good answer. I mean, it is good for us. It is, God wants us to be holy because He's holy. It's our being like God. That's what He wants. But you know, there are three things. There are three other reasons that I want to go into. In Matthew 5:14-16, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who's in heaven." When we let our light shine, we cannot be hidden. When we imitate God, when we let what God's put in us shine out to the world, people who are lost see who God is. The only way the people out there in the world who don't care about the Bible see God is through our lives. And that's a duty of ours. When we know God, we show God to the ones who are out in the world. But you know what? That's not the only people who we show God to. Over in Ephesians 3, Paul, yet again, says in verse 8, while y'all turn there, I'm going to get a drink of water. In Ephesians 3, starting in verse 8, Paul tells us what his job was. He says, "To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things." He said, "My job is to tell you the mystery that was hidden in God. I'm going to tell you what God wants you to know about Him." That was Paul's job. And then he says, "So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places." There's a spiritual battle going on. There are spiritual beings that we don't see, that we know nothing about. And they're watching us. They're watching us. Every step we take, every move we make. That sounds like a song. These rulers and authorities in heavenly places are watching us so that they can find out the wisdom of God. God not only shows Himself to the people who are lost through us, but He shows Himself to those heavenly beings through us, through the church. And you know, we not only show ourselves, show God to the people on the outside, we not only show God to the heavenly beings, but we show God to one another. We show God to one another. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. Paul says that he is going to show the world who Christ is by the things that he does, and we are to do the same by watching his example. We as people have a duty, we as the church rather, have a duty to show Christ to one another. So, when I see Jim Cato going over and working at somebody's house on his day off, he didn't go to school. Whenever I see that, I see Christ's service, his servant-like attitude showing up in Jim. When I see the teens gather together and go over to the Webb's house and clear out their garden and show their love to them, that's really me seeing Christ's love for man. When I see Robert and CB going and visiting people who are in the hospital, who are going through surgeries or just had new babies, or that shows God's concern to me. And you know what? When I fail, when I sin and fall short of the glory of God, and I come to a brother and I tell him, brother, I've sinned and I need your help, that will show him that it's okay to fall. It's okay to fall as long as you get back up again. And that shows God's mercy for each and every one of us. Because the fact of the matter is, we're all going to fail. We're all going to fall. We're all going to come short of the glory of God. We're all going to sin. But when we share with one another our sins, when we confess them one to another, we can support each other. And we can show God's mercy and His grace through how we handle the situation. God said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. With everything you got, love God. And loving is never an easy thing. Loving's never an easy thing to do. Liking people's easy. I mean, if you're a likable person, I like you. That's easy. But loving someone is not easy. Being a servant to someone, going out of your way to do things for people who don't deserve it, is a hard thing. But you see, God is so awesome. He is so big. He knows everything. He's everywhere. He's all powerful. But how do we understand that? We can't understand that. You talk about eternity. That's a concept I don't even got a hold on. How can you ever know what eternity is? It's like trying to teach a blind man what a color looks like. You can't do it. But the things that we can know about God, whenever we find a little bit more about Him, whenever we learn just a little bit more, we should desire to know Him even greater and build on what we do know. Because God wants so desperately to have a relationship with you, that he gave his son to die for you, to die for me, to die for the world, so that he could have a relationship with man. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know him. And today, if you don't know God, if you're outside of Christ, if you've seen some things in the church here at the Valley or the church worldwide that you find is something noble and you want to be a part of and you want to be baptized into Christ, we welcome you. But if you've fallen and you need to get back up, well, today is the day. We're here for you. And I've got one last thing to read. And then we'll have a song in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast of his might. And let not the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts, boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. If there's anything we could do for you today, please come forward as we stand and sing.